Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with your host, the Honorable Sam Rohrer, President of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues impacting our economy, our homes, our churches, our culture, and our daily lives from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Stand in the Gap Today, transforming the culture one heart at a time.
Well, the latest research confirms that past threats to fundamentally transform American society are sadly coming to pass. Now, we all know that our culture is flashing warning signs, and it has been for a long time in many areas. But when the American family falls apart and the sobering facts are known about the family and how it defines bedrock moral principles, such as how many spouses can a person have, or attitudes towards abortion, or attitudes towards sex before marriage or between unmarried adults, or having children outside of marriage. Freedom is, as we have known it, desperately in trouble, and our nation's built on the concept of self-government under God is nearing collapse when these norms change. Well, the theme for today's program is this: the frightening truth, the American family in free fall. And with that, I welcome you to Stand in a Gap Today. I'm Sam Rohrer, and I'm going to be joined by Dr. Gary Dahl and evangelist Dave Kistler, our special guest and recurring guest on this program and the producer of this very latest research being released today across America by the American Culture and Faith Institute, is nationally known and respected author and speaker and researcher George Barna. Now, let me just take you back a little bit, if I can, in history. In 2008, Barack Obama paraded across America promising, if you remember, to fundamentally transform American society. But he wasn't the first one. Before him, other presidents like Lyndon Johnson ushered in and promised to change America through his Great Society efforts. The Marxists of the Soviet Union of the last century said that they would infiltrate America and transform it and collapse it from within. Now you have the Muslim Brotherhood in collaboration with globalist and Marxist George Soros in our current day, threatening to destroy America by using our own system and our own people to undermine and destroy ourselves. So before we get into the details of this latest research, I'd like to address for just a few moments what the enemies of freedom and the enemies of God's design for marriage and family must transform if in order to fundamentally transform American society. And with that, I want to welcome in immediately now George Barna. George, thanks for being with us again today.
Always great to be with you.
George, before we get into the details of the substance of your research, which we'll do next section in the balance of the program, I'd like to get an idea from you relative to the changing American family and those who have said that they would transform America, ultimately going after elements within the family. I'd like you to lay down, if you could, some key markers of what is a solid family. What makes for an intact and strong family unit from a biblical perspective, and if you want to put in there an historical American experience perspective? What are those markers that are committed, are part of the way we have been, that those who want to transform must change if they're going to fundamentally transform society in America? Could you do that, please?
Yeah, and I'll try to be quick with that, because I mean, we could spend days literally talking about that. A lot of us have done that, but what we know is from not only a biblical and a historical perspective, but even from a statistical perspective, looking at what does the research say, what does it support in terms of precepts and concepts, what we find is that, certainly biblically, the family is identified as the basic unit for society, for ministry, for life. We look historically at the United States. David Bart and I, did this a couple of years ago, wrote a book looking at that, and really discovered that what made America great initially was a strong partnership between three different entities, church, government, and family. And together they carried out God's plans and commands, and that's what gave us the historic momentum that we needed. And then, of course, as you look on, okay, but what is family all about, really? Well, it has to do with marriage, which would be a male and a female becoming one. You would have children, which are seen as a blessing and a gift from God, and they're a top priority for their parents. You look at sexuality, and the Bible is very clear in stating that it's both for procreation and for pleasure, but it's to be between a married man and woman. You look at other forms of sexual behavior that are physically possible, but again, the Bible refers to those as a perversion. We look at life itself as a sacred gift, a blessing, but also a sacred gift given to us from God, which therefore suggests that abortion is an inappropriate behavior. And, of course, the Bible also talks about divorce as being something that in most cases is forbidden. It certainly breaks our commitment and our promise to God and to our spouse, to our family, to our community. You put all of those things together and you begin to build that understanding of what constitutes a strong and capable family. And as I suggest, the research that's been done over the years supports that what is often called a traditional view of marriage, the man and the woman being married and having children, raising them in the fear, love, and obedience of God. And that when that happens, those people have more successful lives, they have more fulfilling lives, and they add greater value to society.
Well, George, I mean, you did a great job. I know you can spend days, and we've all been a part of that, but you've really boiled that down very nicely here. Church, government, family, working according to God's order, all those things, marriage, children, human sexuality, all of that kind of things tied into it. Gary, I want to go to you right now here in the last minute. You've been a pastor for 40 years. You've done a lot of marriages. You've done a lot of funerals. You've counseled a lot. Just give a perspective, if you could, of what you've seen over 40 years. That's a generation biblically. What have you seen over these 40 years relative to families, intact families, strength of families? If you could just give a snapshot of your view over a generation of working with people in your church and people, you know, outside the church.
Well, Sam, first of all, I do thank the Lord for those families that are still strong from the biblical perspective. But unfortunately, over the last 40, 45 years, I've noticed that there has been a demise of the Christian family as we would like to see it due to the lack of spiritual leadership, the lack of the spiritual desire, the lack of spiritual commitment to biblical truth, and even the lack of a commitment to spiritual ministry. And I think all of these things being brought together indicates to us that we have a real issue today to deal with in the church and within the culture. I pray that we can strengthen Christian families as we go forward.
Well, Gary, I trust that we can as well. And we're going to be getting into that here as we go through this research here today. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Stand in the Gap today. I'm Sam Rohr, accompanied by Dave Kistler and Gary Dahl. Our special guest, Executive Director of the American Culture and Faith Institute, George Barna, and his latest research. Our theme for today, The Frightening Truth, The American Family in Free Fall. So stay with us. When we come back, we're going to get into that research, and we're going to talk about what George has found, its impacts as we go into this program. You really don't want to miss it. Very, very important. Stay with us. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com. Hello, I'm your host, Sam Rohr. Can I talk with you for just a moment? We love to hear from our listeners, to hear your suggestions and which themes and guests you like the most. Let me share two recent listener comments. A handwritten note from Judy, a $25 a month partner, said this, quote, "Thanks so very much for giving us news that we just can't find anywhere else on radio or TV," end quote. And Bill said this, quote, "Every day at lunchtime, our entire furniture factory shuts down to eat. The highlight of the day for 25 of us is Stand in the Gap Today. Your comments are true and thought-provoking. It challenges us to think clearly about all the nonsense around us. We love the biblical and constitutional perspective. There's just no one else like you," end quote. Now, if Judy and Bill's comments connect with you, would you join with us as they have for just a few dollars a month? It would make all of the difference of us staying on your station. Just go to standinthegapradio.com and set up a monthly gift. And while you're there, sign up for our emails, too.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today. For more information, visit our website at standinthegapradio.com.
Well, it's rightly said that the family's the bedrock of society. You just heard George Barna repeat that and add more things into it. But, you know, strong families do make for strong communities, and strong communities make for strong nations. On the other hand, you destroy the family, you will ultimately destroy that nation. And God in His Word and His pattern for life and living set the model for a family a long time ago when He established the pattern of a man leaving his family, choosing and cleaving to his wife, and from that union bring forth children, teaching them and raising them in the ways of God, His truth, and then inculcating God's moral standards for human sexuality, life and death, marriage and its fulfillments and its duties, and building them into the hearts and the minds of the children. Well, historically, we've called this biblical construct the traditional family. Yet many enemies of God and many opponents of the traditional family have laid down strategies long ago for breaking apart the American family as a way of breaking apart and bringing down the United States of America. And in that end, I would submit that from family destructive domestic policy to altered educational curricula to the complete repudiating of God's design by our U.S. Supreme Court to a silent and complicit church in pulpits across America, the rules of the game, so to speak, the working definition of God's design have truly been upended, placing the American family in free fall. And to share the startling facts of his just-breaking research is George Barna, executive director of the American Culture and Faith Institute. Now, George, we got to get right into this, and you've got way too much stuff here for us to go over, so we'll have to just do our best. But you've broken on this program and elsewhere, George, startling research on a range of critical issues. But this information on the family, as I've read through this, that you've just now completed, it's at the top, I think, in its significance. You've simply entitled this research, Americans Redefine Family Morality. Now, in my opinion, you placed a very factual but fairly unemotional title on this astounding, in my opinion, very emotionally impacting research. Now, what I'm going to ask you right now, George, is why did you go to the family here, and what were the top line results that you can kind of lay out as a foundation that we can build the rest of the program upon?
Okay, well, the reason for doing that particular research is, as I was alluding to in the prior segment, the family really is the basic and essential building block of a society. And so if you want to understand where a society's at, if you want to influence or transform a society, you really have to understand the mindset, the heart set, behavior of families. And of course, speaking historically in the United States, families have traditionally adhered to core principles within the framework of the Constitution. And both those principles and the Constitution, it was all based on biblical teaching, biblical foundations. And so we need to figure out, are we still adhering to that? The focus on morality, I think, is important because morality simply means determining what's right or wrong. And so, again, if you want to understand a culture, you have to know what they think is right or wrong, as well as what they think is the arbiter, the element, the power, the authority that determines that right from wrong. So in looking at this research, I mean, the top line is that America is consistently moving away from traditional American family perspectives, values, and morals, which, of course, then in turn means that we're moving away from biblical morality. Cases in point. We look at the proportions of people who find the following behaviors to be either morally acceptable or to say it's not even a moral issue, which to me is a story in and of itself, because people are saying there isn't even any right or wrong to this. It's just a matter of personal preference. So people who either say that divorce is morally acceptable or it's just a matter of personal preference, there is no right or wrong, 77% of American adults. People who say that having sexual intercourse between unmarried male and female adults is either morally acceptable or not even a moral issue, acceptable to 71% of Americans. People saying that having a baby without being married is acceptable, 69%. People saying that intentional exposure to pornography, which in the survey was described as intentionally looking at pictures or videos that display nudity or explicit sexual behavior, that was deemed acceptable by 58% of adults. Having an abortion, 48%. Accepting polygamy, you know, which was described as being married to more than one person at the same time. Almost 3 out of 10 Americans now say that polygamy is acceptable. That's 28%. So you look at all of this, and certainly I don't think anybody could stand back and say, wow, that's comforting to see that. You know, things are moving in the right direction. Certainly from a Christian perspective, you look at that and you say we are all, it almost appears as if we're looking for every opportunity we can find to slap God in the face and say, we know you said not to do this, but, you know, as a personal preference, we kind of like it, therefore we're going to do it.
George, even as we're speaking, there's a bill that has just passed the California Assembly. It's a bill number 2943 that basically will at some point basically be a Bible ban in the state of California. Is any communication that would try to take someone from the homosexual lifestyle toward a what's called a straight or a traditional lifestyle is basically going to be against the law. Now, that bill's on its way to the California Senate. Hopefully it will not pass there. But George, for all practical purposes, the statistics you are giving basically are stating that whether the Bible is officially banned in a state or across the United States, it's as if we are living as if the Bible is already banned because we're not living in accord with its dictates. Why have we gotten to this place where the kind of percentages you've just given, 77% and 71% believe that these aberrant behaviors are okay? How have we gotten there?
You know, as you and I both know, there's a lot of reasons for why that's happened, and it's not an overnight process. This has been going on for 50 or 60 years now, where there has been an intentional effort to move America away from the Bible, away from Christianity, away from Christ, away from the ways of God. And so, you know, and I live here in California now. I mean, that's my wacky state that you're speaking about there. And, you know, why has this happened? Well, because people, including Christians, really don't read the Bible. We don't trust the Bible. In so many churches, obviously not all churches, but many churches across the country, we're not being taught the Bible. And just as, if not more significant than that, our families have essentially abandoned the Bible. There is almost no family Bible reading, no family Bible study, little family prayer time. There's no, there's very little family-based discipleship that's taking place. Well, when you take churches and families out of the equation, then who is left in that dynamic partnership that created America to be what it's to be? Well, the government. And that's exactly what the government is doing. It is putting laws and policies in place that, absent the presence of churches and families, are going to be the new way of thinking and behaving in the land. And so by extricating ourselves from that process, we have tacitly given permission to the government to say, look, we don't know what to do with the Bible. Why don't you tell us what to do with it? And essentially, as we're starting to see in California, and it'll wave across the country soon thereafter, the idea is going to be, well, you know what, it's not good for you, so So we're just going to take it out of the equation altogether.
You know, George, I've often said that when we look back into our history here in America, you go back to 1962 and 63, when prayer and Bible reading was taken out of the public schools. From that particular point until where we are today, we have seen a spiritual deterioration in so many ways. I mean, that's just not speculation or observation, but I think that that can be proven historically. You take the Bible out of the picture and, you know, there's no restraint and sin runs in a rampancy. We are seeing that. But getting back to this particular survey, you know, I see numbers like 77% of all Americans support divorce, or that 71% see no problem with sexual intercourse between unmarried adults and certain things along this line. The question that comes to my mind is, how long can the family unit remain? What's the future for the union between a committed man and a woman? Is it going to endure, or is it just going to continue on a demise?
Yeah, you know, Gary, I think that's certainly one of the critical questions that this research brings up, because it represents the question of, well, what are we committed to? What do we believe? What do we think really matters? You know, or putting it a different way, are we willing and committed to obeying God, or simply to pursuing our own desires and ideas, or allowing other people to tell us what we ought to be thinking and doing without saying, but wait a minute, I have a set of core values. I have a set of fundamental beliefs that lead me to believe and behave differently. You know, the big picture here for me is that Americans, you know, as we're talking, are essentially rewriting the fundamental principles and commitments of the United States. We are cutting ties with our history, our spiritual commitments, our national values, and we're substituting new sets of lifestyles that ultimately we're going to pay for.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to George Barna today here with us, breaking latest research. We're entitling The Frightening Truth, The American Family in Freefall. As what he just said is that we are rewriting the terms, God's definition of marriage and family, and that is big trouble. Now, when we come back right after the break, we're going to continue on and we're going to say, all right, we heard some numbers about the family generally, but what about those who say they're Christian? Talk about that when we come back.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, discussing the pressing issues facing our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Now let's rejoin our host.
Well, before we get back into the program of the day, I just want to announce to all of our listeners that effective Sunday, just a few days ago from this program, the American Pastors Network launched a TV program called Stand in the Gap. So Stand in the Gap has now Stand in the Gap Radio and Stand in the Gap TV. I don't have all of the listing right now to give, but those in Pennsylvania in particular, in eastern Pennsylvania, on a whole realm of cable networks can pick it up and watch it. Just go to your cable network or whatever and look for Stand in the Gap. And then you'll also be able to find those listings and the postings there on our app, which you can get download for free by putting in the phrase Stand in the Gap, or by going to our website at standinthegapradio.com. There'll also be a link there that you'll find, if not now, very soon, where you'll be able to find and listen to back programs if you happen to be in a part of the country where you are not able to listen to the program. But stay tuned on that. We'll announce more information as this program, which will do similar to what we're doing on this program here now, key issues of the day from a biblical and constitutional perspective, will be carried on national TV. That'll be available by satellite to about 100 million households. We'll tell you more about that in another week or two when that actually comes about. So pray with us as this information goes out to increasingly more millions of households, that God will use it, just like he's using this program to minister truth into the hearts and lives of listeners. So pray with us, and we'll tell you more information about that. Well, when a society or a nation, once having known God of heaven or embraced a biblical worldview within the institution of marriage and the family, once they have done that and they reject God and his standards, which is what George was talking about, that nation is in real trouble. It's in trouble historically, but it's also in trouble because the Bible says that. Yet secular societies have long been this way, where without God, haven't men always done what they have wanted to do? That's what a depraved culture is about. But God placed Israel as a nation, and then he placed Christianity, and it's coming along there to be lights, to point the way to higher moral standards, to greater blessing and fulfillment, so that we can enjoy what God designed, God the Creator designed. And so the question is, I'm going to ask, and we're going to talk to George here now about, is how is the church performing? What kind of a differences are we seeing in these mentalities and these definitions of human sexuality and all that between the secular, the unsaved, those who don't know God at Christ as Savior, and those who say they do? Well, we're going to find out more about some of those distinctions right now. George, I want to go back to you and say what you've shared earlier was more about the total research in general, but you broke it down and you went into specific areas, which we want to cover in this segment. What did you find about those who said they were Christians? How did you break it out? Go where you went on the qualifying of that and lay out some of the distinctions. How close to the world are those, for instance, put it that way, who say they're Christians? What are they thinking?
Well, if we look, for instance, at the group that we categorized as born-again Christians, we didn't ask them if that's what they consider themselves, but these are people who say that they not only, you know, have an orthodox view of God, they consider themselves Christians, but then after they die, they believe they'll go to heaven, they'll live with God eternally, only because they confess their sins and accepted Christ as their Savior. Looking at that group, which constitutes about 3 out of 10 adults in America, and by the way, that number is declining. What we found is that, thankfully, that group generally is less likely than the other 7 out of 10 Americans to embrace this new moral code, if you will, that we've been discussing. On average, there was a little bit more than a 20 percentage point difference on 7 of these 8 moral behaviors that we were looking at. Now, having said that, let me also point out, though, that the delusion about the acceptability of these new moral perspectives also is deeply ingrained even within the born-again community. And the reason I say that is that we found that majorities of born-again adults said that they find divorce and giving birth without the benefit of marriage, sexual intercourse among unmarried adults, a majority of born-again adults said those things are acceptable. So you have 66%, 2 out of 3, saying that divorce is either morally acceptable or it's not even a moral issue. It's just a matter of personal preference. You had 54% saying that having a baby without being married is morally acceptable or just personal preference. And then you have 51% who said sexual intercourse between unmarried adults is morally acceptable. Add to that, and this is one of those where you have to do a double take, where about 4 out of 10 born-again Christians say that intentionally viewing pornography is either morally acceptable or not even a moral issue, just a matter of personal preference. And you get the sense that even within the church, we're participating in this process of rewriting morality so that we feel more comfortable rather than we are more committed to and obedient to God.
Staggering.
George, there were also some stunning differences between the various categories, I guess I would call it, of faith. For example, there were differences between those who identified themselves as Catholics as opposed to those who identified as quote-unquote Protestants. What were some of these distinctions, and then were you surprised by what you found?
Yeah, well, first of all, we can look at, the Catholic-Protestant differences, and we found that Catholics were more likely than Protestants to accept these behaviors as either moral or amoral behaviors in 4 out of the 8 situations, or behaviors that we looked at. They were more likely to embrace divorce, sex between unmarried adults, having birth without marriage, and viewing pornography than were Protestants. The pornography one was, I thought, quite striking, where you had 42% of Protestants, which is an outrageous number in and of itself, saying that viewing pornography is morally acceptable or just a reasonable personal preference. But you had 61% of Catholics who bought into that as well. So when you look at all these, another thing that kind of shocked me in all this, we often hear that Catholics are the backbone of the pro-life movement, and I'm not challenging that because there we're talking about individuals. But when we look at the Catholic Church overall, more Catholics than Protestants were supportive of abortion. 43% of Catholics said that they found having an abortion to be either morally acceptable or simply not a moral issue. So, again, there are a lot of pretty shocking things in here. And, of course, the Catholic Church has been the leading church in the nation, perhaps, in terms of trying to convince people that divorce is not an option. And yet we found that 8 out of 10 Catholic individuals say that getting a divorce is morally acceptable or just a matter of personal preference.
You know, George, it appears to me, and of course we've been seeing this take place over the last years, but it appears to me is that there is no real proper biblical understanding of morality in the hearts and the minds of people in general across the country today, as well as in the hearts and the minds of the people in churches. Whether you're talking about Protestant or Catholic, there are a lot of people who really don't understand what morality is all about.
I think that's absolutely true. And a lot of that comes back to the kind of teaching and instruction and discipleship that people do or do not receive. And so there are, you know, every 5, 6, 7 years, we do a particular national study where we look at just very, very, very fundamental Christian precepts and definitions. And what we typically find is that American Christians really are not well schooled in the very basics of our faith. And so, yeah, I would agree with you that the whole concept of morality, when you ask people what that is, they tend to think that it refers more to what we think is politically correct or what we feel comfortable with or the way that we personally think things should be, as opposed to going back to some kind of an unchanging source of truth, such as God's word, and diving into that and trying to figure out what does this teach me about right and wrong, because that's going to be an accurate, reliable, and eternal and unchanging source.
George, what, there's so much here. I want to go one other area. I wanted to get some thoughts in here because you also broke down this research generationally. There are differences in views generationally. Give us the high points of those distinctions, if you could.
Yeah, a lot of different things emerged there. I mean, oddly, we found that people in their older years, 65 or older, were the ones who were most likely to support divorce. We found that all four generations basically had the same perspectives on the acceptability of unmarried adults having sexual intercourse with each other, as well as the acceptability of having a divorce. When you see high numbers and it's basically equivalent across generations, what that begins to suggest is that this has become a norm in the society. It's very difficult to fight that because most people, no matter what age, no matter what gender, no matter what racial or ethnic background, they're behind it. We did find that the two younger generations, what's often known as Gen X and the millennials, were the ones that were much more likely to support pornography. They were also much more likely to support polygamy. And when you realize they are the future determiners of where our culture is going, that tells us something about what we have to look forward to.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, boy, I tell you, there's a lot of information here, and I'm going to have George give us the website to go to so you can get this research and look at it yourself. You really need to study it. But obviously the question comes up is, all right, major trend is underway. Culture's changing. Can it be stopped? Is there an effort? Can anything be done to stop the collapse of the American family? We're going to talk a little bit about that when we come back.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K-12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teacher's Editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Here's what Dr. Jimmy DeYoung has to say about Stand in the Gap.
But I just feel compelled. This is an unsolicited testimonial that I want to bring to your audience. This opportunity that the people listening to you have to reach this nation with the truth, the biblical truth, constitutional truth, has to be taken care of. The American Pastors Network, there's no parallel in all of America with that. The 425 radio stations, I mean, that's an unknown, and I don't know that anybody had put that kind of a network together to do what these guys are doing, and it's got a true focus as far as a talk program. Look at here. You've got a former politician who would probably still like to be a politician. You have a pastor of a church, and you have an itinerant evangelist that travels all over the nation making impact the way he is. Folks, you got to support Stand in the Gap Radio. I just wanted to pass it along because I'm so impressed with this ministry.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
No matter how you look at it, from a political or an economic or cultural or financial or a family perspective, ladies and gentlemen, our nation is in trouble. Now, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, and verse 15, God tells the people, the nation of Israel, he's taking them into new land. He says this, I command you this day, love the Lord, walk in his ways, keep his commandments and statutes and judgments. The result, you will live and multiply, and I will bless you in the land. That was God's promise to those people in that point in time. But our nation, our national leaders also recognized it. In verse 19 of that same chapter, God then comes back, and I will say that this verse I'm quoting right now was actually quoted by Governor John Winthrop, governor of the first colony of this nation, when it was setting things out there. And the verse says this, I call to heaven, or I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that you, both you and your seed, your children, may live. Well, as a nation and as families generally, we've not heeded God's truth. We've walked away. According to this verse, we are choosing. In this research that George is laying out, we are, by our actions, choosing cursing. Wow. Question is, can this march away from God, leading to the collapse of the American family and our society, can it be stopped? And if so, how much time do we have and what do we need to do about it? George, it's an awful lot to cover in the last sections of this program, but you've been producing substantive research about the American family, the church, and the culture for a long time. And I really don't know of anybody better than you to be able to just note from your observation these changes over time. You've already kind of talked about a little bit, but how long has it taken to get here, George? What are the major contributors, the most significant contributors to this march away from God? And why is we have a people walked away from God?
Yeah, again, that's a long discussion, Sam. But, you know, I think you can probably look historically at what's been going on and say, well, this has been happening for 50 to 60 years. You could begin to see this. You know, you have the sexual revolution in the 60s, you had values education in the 70s, you had the onset of cable television and mega churches in the 80s, you had subjective journalism rearing its head along with financial recklessness and excess in the 90s, you had really the gay revolution at the beginning of the millennium, you've had political warfare and kind of the socialist uprising this decade. You know, and there are many other little movements that have taken place along the way. So I think we have to begin to recognize, wow, this is not something that's new. This has been going on for a long time, and we've got to recognize that this is essentially a war of attrition. We're being worn down because the enemy has a long-term, multifaceted plan. And what are we countering it with? Four-week sermon series. You know, I mean, come on, we've got to get serious about the fact that this is a war. It's been possible to walk away from God's plan for us and from his admonitions to us, his commands to obey him, because, number one, only 1 out of 10 Americans has a biblical worldview. Number two, we've got weak leadership throughout the country. I mean, who today are the people that you can identify, or anybody listening could identify, who are the best representatives of a Christian vision for America, Christian values for our future, who are espousing goals that truly honor Christ, who are holding our different institutions and leaders and families accountable for those things? I mean, we've been absent in the media. We've been absent in the schools. You know, and the bottom line on all this is that we're losing this war right now because our children are being attacked. I mean, you look at the media that they're being exposed to. You look at what they're being taught in the schools. You look at the laws that are being put in, such as the one that, you know, Dave was talking about earlier out here in California, where they're, you know, trying to back into banning the Bible. They've already banned some of its content from speech in public places, from counseling in private places. You can imagine where this is going to go. So, I mean, it took time for us to get here. It's going to take time for us to get out of this mess, but we've got to make a good start at it.
George, let me ask you two things. Number one, we've used on this program of late the frog in the boiling water analogy, and, you know, the frog doesn't realize the water's boiling him to death until it's too late. It certainly appears that that's where we're headed in the United States of America. You've already touched upon it because you talked about the four-week sermon series. It sounds like, you know, you want to go somewhere there, and I wish you would. But what is the answer to all of this? The pulpit obviously is part of it, but what can be done to stop it? And if it is not stopped, how close are we as a culture to going over the moral cliff?
You know, Dave, one of the things that strikes me is that Americans are sleepwalking. I mean, I think we've got to start out by taking people by the shoulders. I mean, let's do it with each other and just shaking each other and say, come on, let's wake up. Let's think. Does this matter? I mean, the answer to that question right now would have to be based on the research. Apparently, Americans think it doesn't matter because we're not doing anything to change it. We're not even aware of what's going on in many cases. So rather than simply saying, no, I feel pretty comfortable, or I don't want to rock the boat, it's like, hey, buddy, if you're a Christian, you're here to rock the boat for Christ, okay? So let's get that in. Let's recognize it's a war. Let's also recognize that we don't have to bemoan the fact that we don't have a majority. Doesn't matter. God's never used a majority to transform the world. He always uses remnants. You know, and then let's look at the whole idea of what a revolution is and how they work. A revolution is a common set of ideas that people embrace, but they have to embrace them individually first. So a revolution happens one life at a time. It starts with me. And if I'm not willing to light that match and get this revolution going, it dies right here in my chair. So each one of us has to be willing to say, you know what? I'm going to be part of that revolution. My life is going to change starting right now. And then I'm going to look at what I can do. What can you do? Families. You know, I mean, the adults have to make that personal commitment to God's truth. But then you've got to make sure that your kids are being exposed to and taught and held accountable to a biblical worldview. Churches have to embrace the commitment of supporting families. They're not the ones responsible for families, but they are responsible for giving them the resources, the encouragement, the tools that they need to help put a biblical worldview into practice. We've got to change our media diet. The media diet of Christianity in America is no different than any other group in America. So garbage in, garbage out. We keep ingesting garbage, we're going to keep putting it out. And finally, we've got to elect people whose moral standards fit biblical principles. We can't expect them to pass laws that reflect biblical principles if they don't buy into those principles themselves.
Well, George, you laid out an awful lot. Ladies and gentlemen, we're at the end of the program here right now. But my suggestion, ladies and gentlemen, if you're touched by this, look in the mirror. All of us. Let's look in the mirror and ask ourselves, where are we? Talk to our children. Talk to our grandchildren. Talk to our neighbors. Let's hold each other accountable. We know the truth. We must stand for that truth now. George Barna, thank you so much for being with us today. And ladies and gentlemen, listen to this program again in archive form. StandInTheGapRadio.com and go to American Culture and Faith Institute website. Pick up their material. Read this research. Distribute it. Act upon it for the sake of the truth and our nation. God bless you. We'll see you back tomorrow.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today. Stand in the Gap today is another quality ministry of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues affecting the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. We take seriously the command to be salt and light and the mission to declare truth in the public square. Stand in the Gap Radio is supported through the prayers and tax-deductible financial gifts from listeners like you. Would you please consider a donation to help us increase our outreach of biblical truth? To learn more about us and make your donation, please visit StandInTheGapRadio.com. You may also give from our smartphone app. Download the Stand in the Gap app. Search for it in your web store under the heading Stand in the Gap. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in every weekday at the same time for Stand in the Gap today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.